Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Dear Mike.
Okay.
Please be more supportive of Oscar's endeavors outside the Mike O'Mara Show. Sign me.
Let's see. Hold on a second.
Sent.
Dear Mike, can we get rid of him today?
The 417-foot-long beast is too tall to clear the bridge. And when it's ready to sail, Bezos and the company that's building it will share the cost of dismantling the bridge so it can pass through.
Mrs. Bezos was quoted as saying, I christen thee the flying wasp.
The flying wasp.
Where Ramis talks about they would work out Rodney's bits. Like, that was the first thing Rodney shot, was the pro shop.
Oh, was it really?
And okay. So they worked it out the night before because Rodney was nervous. He had done stage. He had done TV. He had never done a movie. And he's waiting to come in, and Harold Ramis yells, action. Nothing. Action.
Rodney's staying outside.
Rodney's staying out. And he says, Rodney, when I say action, you're supposed to come in. He says, oh, and do the bit?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Deming, New Mexico, St. Louis, Missouri, Michigan City, Indiana, Lutz. You got it right. Lutz, Florida, Venado Tuerto, Argentina, the historic Corbin Park neighborhood of Spokane, Washington. And crank it up, Rob, our new music. Listen to this. Huh? Do you like it?
I like it.
We shake it up once in a while just for fun.
Not That's too much.
We do that for.
Most people complain.
No, don't want to change it every month.
No.
But, you know, we do it periodically.
No, I love that I got the email yesterday. It just said in the subject line, all lowercase letters, new music.
Evolve or die.
Exactly. It's so
cool.
Yeah,
I like to tweak it up.
Yeah.
You know? I change
the
things.
The dumpster was a dark period in our life.
The digital dumpster.
Yeah.
Oh, now you, there you are. All right, there you are.
We're here.
Good. So, anywho, a few different things on the show, a different explosion sound. I modernized my ordinance.
Yes.
We used to have a traditional, how are we doing? Are we connected up
here? Oh, you look great. Look and sound great.
When I switched down here to the large picture, which I have to do when I'm reading different stuff, you guys freeze a little bit, but that's normal. So, please hit the new explosion.
I can't wait for the next parody record.
Man. That works for me.
Call Bob Rivers.
That's usually after I ate a whole cheese pizza.
Got some new Oscar music, if you were interested in that. You know, when we're talking about his family.
Yeah.
That's like high fidelity. It's like I'm in a latiplano.
Sorry.
Yeah, I love it.
Listen, the best thing about doing what I do, and this is why I continue to just love what I do. And it's taken me many, many years to figure out why I love it so much. Why I love it so much is because when something gets me going, when I see something or I get excited, I'm a sharer. I want to share. I want to share. Good or bad, if I want to come in and bitch about something because something bugged me and I want to see if there are kindred spirits out there, and I appreciate all the listeners giving me their feedback. I have been on many, many rants on this show talking about modern advertising, talking about Geico. Rob, when you're looking around and I've had a bad connection day, it freaks me the
hell out. Okay, I'm sorry. I just
so
was peeking.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
Is everything all right?
Oscar is adjusting a wire and I muted his microphone so he wouldn't hear it. I wanted to make sure
I unmuted. We're having a shaky morning technologically and I want focus.
Don't freak out. All is well.
So here is the deal. I talk about advertising with Geico and Progressive and just the dumbing down of advertising in America,
right.
And that they're just. I've always thought these agencies, these ad agencies on Madison Avenue that have all this money, they should give us more. And when I'm talking about more, give us more comedy.
Yeah,
and I have no problem with Super Bowl ads being previewed Not on the Super. I'm okay with
really?
That because
that drives me crazy.
Rob, what Oscar said: evolve or die. It's the digital age,
but are you okay
that.
With it? Like on a news program when it's like a news
care.
Story.
I don't care. You know what I'm talking about specifically is online content.
Okay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Somebody
okay,
makes
I can
me
agree
aware,
with you there. That's fine.
Somebody makes me aware this morning of Jeep doing a brand new Bill Murray commercial, and I am here to tell you, I watched this 6 times before.
Oh,
I came
really?
In here because finally, they just, as Richard Attenborough would say, spared no expense coming in. It was Bill Murray. How to describe how the staying power that Bill Murray has had? I think for anybody that is an actor. Especially a comedian, a comic actor. Bill Murray has had that pseudo-dangerous vibe that just makes him funny when he shows up. And although Groundhog Day was, I think, an okay movie.
I agree.
It was such a perfect vehicle for Bill Murray that's what made the movie iconic.
Yeah, if not for Bill Murray, it's not a movie. As a matter
it's
of fact,
it's not a movie at all.
He not
that.
Only has to elevate the movie, he has to carry Andy McDowell.
Andy McDowell, irrelevant.
Yeah,
in
horrible,
that movie.
Horrible.
That's the way I've always looked at it. So they do a recall spot, and they went all in. They
it's
went
got everything.
All in. You've seen it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It's just so satisfying. It's like everything... For Bill Murray fans, for fans of that movie, the expense to timeliness ratio, putting it on in February right after Groundhog Day is just...
Is it a 60-second spot? I'm not sure.
I saw the online version of it. And okay. They have a little
I just watched it online.
Okay. Yeah.
They have a little behind-the-scenes thing that they
right.
did, too, and it's for Jeep. And I just wanted to say to their agency, salute. You know, if you're an agent, if you're the same agency, and you very well might be, that's provided us with Flow and Progressive for all those years. This is the anti-Flow commercial where there's really an effort made. I mean, they went all in on it. They went really all in with it. I urge everybody, if you got as much pleasure out of that as I did, you know, and you go see it today before the Super Bowl, I don't care. A great commercial. It doesn't matter, Rob. It doesn't matter whether it's on the news, whether it's online. It's not like, you know, they're spoiling it. The idea of commercials for major corporations running just in the Super Bowl, now it's having an online presence and having them go viral. That's part of their equation.
I did not see that one. I watched two this morning. Have you seen the BMW spot with Schwarzenegger?
No, I have not, and I heard that's pretty good, too.
What that is, this is pretty funny, and they teased it. He teased it on social media, I guess, last week, where he made it look like he was doing a movie called Zeus about the Greek god. But
okay.
It's him in the Zeus makeup buying a cup of coffee.
Oh, okay.
And that's that's actually pretty funny. And then there's the Paul Rudd, Seth Rogen for Lay's potato chips.
I was saying it's a Groundhog Day theme movie. I didn't give the plot. Now you said it's Zeus buying a cup of coffee. Right.
Well, but I mean, that's the
that
joke.
A spoiler alert?
It's not a spoiler alert.
It's a commercial. I don't think we can.
And then the Lay's.
We're not giving the world out of the day.
The Lay's commercial with Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen has that thing where they try to do about 4 minutes of comedy in 60 seconds. And so it's all lost. And I was disappointed in that.
All right.
So that's where we're at.
So check it out.
I will.
If you get a chance. It's fun. I want to address something that came my way yesterday with a very, very thoughtful listener. We're in a difficult world now, and I think that I am taking the opportunity when I feel it's necessary to respond to people who may be concerned about some of our content in a way that I think is thoughtful. So here goes. The earlier in the week, we did a bit with Hoda Kotb and her fiance. Coming into the bit, I decided it would be a really good idea. Hey, guys, can we quiet down back there? Just trying to do a little show here. What I did was I tried to really do a Woody Allen voice for her fiance because his name was... like Jason or Justin Schiffman or something like that, and I did the bit, and then you know, a listener said that with the bit and talking about the fact that he was in finance was you know, hurt her feelings because it was something that, in today's climate was something that, you know, just made her feel bad.
Yeah. And, Joel Schiffman.
Joel Schiffman. And I will tell you, and that's the name why I did. I thought it would be good to do a Woody Allen voice. Here I am. I don't understand what's going on with that. And then we did. And I'm not going to try to BS our listening audience and say that there wasn't a component of that that I completely understand would maybe affect it. Yeah, it didn't not make sense to me.
Right.
You know, I know there's a lot of talk about cancel culture. And with Whoopi Goldberg recently and what she said about the Holocaust, that it wasn't about race. Here it is. I don't remember in my lifetime where I saw, and this is why I respond to this, and I respond to this with, and the letter I sent to the lady that I want to do better. Because I think to just poo-poo everything as cancel culture is no longer a defense against content that may be hurtful to people. Let me explain myself here because I thought about it a lot. You've got a situation here where I don't remember in my lifetime where you had a political movement in a mainstream party and a mainstream group of people that was aligned as much as it is today with a threat of anti-Semitism. I talk about that when I see an F Joe Biden flag at a rally next to a Nazi flag.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know, you know, were there Nazis marching? Nazis were marching in Skokie, Michigan, or Illinois. Was it Michigan or
Illinois?
Illinois, back in the 70s. So we've had Nazis around ever since there were Nazis. This time, it's more hate crimes and hate speak, and all of that is more prevalent than I can ever remember in my adult life. I'm 62. I've been around a long time. And I'm talking about in this country, it's the legitimizing of this behavior. So if somebody's saying, oh, people don't get so sensitive, I've always believed if somebody says, oh, you're too sensitive, well, I think the counter should be, well, maybe you're too insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that my intent on the bit was to do an anti-Semitic bit? No. My goal was to do a financier that sounded like Woody Allen that was, you know, talking about the breakup with Hoda Kotb because I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny that they had it as a regular news story on the Today Show. That's it. But at the same time, when this person respectfully, thoughtfully, including I'll continue to listen to you, I still like what you do, I just thought, I just had to. That makes a lot, that carries a lot of weight with me. When somebody is not only thoughtful, but respectful about reaching out to me and privately, instead of putting a thread up where, you know, where I'm going to get the haters piling on, which happens all the time. So I think that people that do comedy and people that do podcasts and people that do television broadcasts, you have to be aware that we are living in different times. And I don't think it would be responsible for me to come in here. Oh man, come on! We're just doing a bit.
I get it. I get it.
You get it.
Look, you. This is and there's no shtick. You and I and Rob. Well, maybe not Rob. We still have to remind Rob off there. Certain things he can't say. but you and I.
But no shtick, Mike.
Have opened our eyes up and our ears up. Next level.
Yeah.
Where and I appreciate that. I think most people should do that. While I thought it was thoroughly entertaining, I can't say I didn't think that I was like, oh, this is a little strange.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
A little off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I probably did too. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to try to BS people and say there was absolutely nothing in there that might have been a little borderline. It might have been a little throwback to the old days.
Right.
This is a different time that we're living in now, man. And it's just, I believe, I would love to get
and
back.
And I'm no empath.
I would love to get back to a time when this type of stuff was not that big a deal. It would be fine, and it probably in another time when we weren't when we didn't have people that are, you know, being giving persecuted. The Adolf Hitler salute.
Yeah, and then we, out in we give them a little more fuel.
It's tough when you've regressed. We've regressed over some years here, and you know,
I don't know. I don't know if I would use the word regression as much as maybe
socially. I mean,
someone opened a door, Rob. Yeah. Someone opened a door, and this stuff that I had no idea was under the surface just came to the forefront. It's stunning to me. And I think I should restate
what I said is that when it comes to the surface, when it's allowed to come to the surface,
right.
That is regression.
See, you're still learning, but you're evolving. I do appreciate that.
I hate you.
I think that really, you know, getting as far as the Whoopi Goldberg thing,
natural.
She said that the Holocaust was not about race, and she came out and she apologized, but then I'm reading articles that she's livid and she's upset.
Yeah, it's the view.
Like, just because someone has supported, you know, human rights, and just because someone has been on the side of non-discrimination and speaking up for people that are discriminated, and someone who is a minority that has supported
themselves.
Causes that mm-hmm. way, I think we have to step out of it. There's no, because I'm somebody who is slightly left of center, and because I've supported a lot of different causes that go against everything that would be racially mm-hmm. discriminatory or anti-Semitic in any way, that doesn't mean that I'm capable of just saying, oh, I didn't mean it. No, this person felt like crap because this person who I believe, I don't even know, maybe she was Jewish, maybe she wasn't, mm-hmm. but this person heard what I said and I get it. Mm-hmm. That's the first three words I said, yeah. I get it. Four mm. words. I get it. No, three words.
Three.
Thank you. I want people to know that I do get it. It's not the same as it used to be. And where does this stuff come from? Comes from pop culture a lot. A lot of these horrible movies.
But it's,
you know?
But we're all opening our eyes and taking, frankly, making the effort to look at the world through other people's eyes.
Right.
And see what lens they see the world in to have a better understanding of what's going on a completely different note. And thank you, Mike, for really, I mean, we would never have had this conversation 10 years ago.
No.
I'll give you, and by the way, when you're like, oh, come on, that's you're watering down. I could redo the bit.
No.
I could redo the bit and come in. Let me tell you how I would do it. She mentioned to me, and she will, I don't think she wants to.
Was it the writer's room?
On the air. She mentioned to me that if it had been that she's laughed out loud when I do a Jackie Mason impersonation, because I'm doing an impersonation of an individual.
Yeah. Right.
If I had said one of her earlier boyfriends, Hoda Kotb, was Woody Allen.
Right.
Or something like that. You can always bend a little bit.
Yeah.
And look, the bit is out there. It's not anything that is over the top, but I completely get how human beings feel. And I would not feel as strongly about coming in here and talking about this if we weren't in a situation where today there are mainstream politicians who are trying to ban books about the Holocaust, and try to make it into something that's not connected mm-hmm. to our modern society. And Jesus, I mean, it's just like... I don't want to live in that world. I want to live in a world where people say, look what happened. Yeah. Look what happened when race, sorry, Whoopi, but it's racial.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you the two words, master race.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? The Aryans, okay, thinking that the Jewish people were not human beings. It's about race. Now, in Whoopi's case, I have no idea why she went down that road. And I'm not qualified to talk about it. If Whoopi was thinking that she didn't want to have the discussion of the Holocaust included with civil rights in America and the plight of African Americans, I have no idea. I'm not in Whoopi's head. I don't know what's going on. But I do understand that times are sensitive right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at a time where people that are comedians and people that are doing podcasts and people that are on television and they are out there have to come on shows like this and say, I get it. We are in different times now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And we have to be mindful about the way people, because we're moving in a direction where, it's scary to me where we are when it comes to race. Okay. And if okay. you know, if you think that this political movement is not involved in race, you got your head way down in the sand. Because it is. It really is.
I don't want to get too heavy here, but a lot of this has to do with education. And I'm not talking just adults. I'm talking about kids. And when it about the Holocaust, we are blessed to grow up in the D.C. area where it's like one of your, at least for me, one of my assignments for our class was to go to the Holocaust Museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there.
Right, right.
One of my assignments, I imagine, and I hope it is, if I was local at the high school I was to go to the African American History Museum.
Right.
Like, you have to lean into that. Air and space is fun, but you have to see what's going on.
You have to understand.
You have to learn about it.
The history. In the history of the world, it was a second ago.
Yeah.
It was a second ago what happened to people. And would I like to live in a world where everyone, I'm not a big user of the term woke, but if we were more woke, that we could understand that making fun of each other, you know, was something that we could do because we know it's not deep. No, now it's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
There are hate crimes all over the place. People taking hostages, people shooting up churches, people doing all this stuff. And has hatred been around? Yeah, it's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
You look different than me. You worship different than me. You're a different sex than me.
This doesn't mean you're going to change, though. Like, if, for example, I still want you to be it's actually embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you at times how jealous you get of Donnie Simpson. But I still want you to be jealous because it's funny. Like I want you to really embrace that rage.
Shut up, Oscar. You just shut the hell up. Donnie Simpson is a. Oh, I'm gonna put myself down right now. Donnie Simpson might as good. Nothing about race. It's about success. It's about success.
You drove a Ferrari. You know, Mike, you should visit the Success Museum.
The Success Museum.
So you can understand.
You're too funny. You know, banning books.
Crazy.
Banning
crazy.
Books.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with these people? What do you hate people so much that you think that you don't want? Well, I don't know where it comes from. I just don't know where. I don't know where that deep a dive comes from. You know, I was watching the MyPillow guy on TV, and he's got a cross on his lapel,
yes.
And he's got a picture in back of him that's got, I literally do a deep dive, like the Statue of Liberty and the profile of the Statue of Liberty, or it might have been the profile of Jesus and the profile of a lion, like he's a warrior
that
for
guy,
Christ or something like
he
that.
He breached the perimeter of the White House and was in the Oval Office talking about tradecraft. You think that didn't happen? It happened.
Right.
And it happened just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Less than 2 years ago.
A second ago.
Mike, I was watching Frontline last night. I mean, 2 nights ago. And they were covering the Trump presidency. And when we talk about, like, literally months ago, this wackadoo was in office.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
The S that went down that we now know and continue to find out.
There is so much written.
I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail now.
From Donald Trump.
It's fine.
He'll write you a letter.
There's so much written about man's inhumanity to man. It unfortunately is a subject that is dealt with an awful lot. The book Mouse, M-A-U-S, that's being targeted
Marty
by
Ruski.
This group.
It's a graphic novel, right?
Okay. Which is a graphic novel. And it talks about the cruelties of what went on during the
I don't know about it. I'm
Holocaust.
So sorry.
It was released, I believe, when I was in... I
feel ignorant.
I feel like I was in intermediate school, like 7th and 8th grade, and it draws an allegory between the Holocaust, but in it, the Nazis are cats and the Jews are mice.
Some parts of the book show... Jews depicted as mice stripped naked in concentration camps. By the way, they're going for nudity as one reason for the ban.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Of course, the book does contain gruesome details and grisly imagery. It's if you want to get through to kids, I just think, you know, you're trying to soft pedal something that was this horrible. And anybody that's my age remembers World War II. My father fought in World War II.
Right.
And you're looking at that and go, if we forget that this was not that long ago, it's just, it's a time for greater awareness. And so when I get a thoughtful letter from a listener who tells me something, and by the way, I get people, if you're going to pop on with a hateful message to me, because you feel a certain way, that I'm just telling you, you have a right to do it any way you want. I am a public figure. I do a show for public consumption. If you want to get on there, fine. I'm just telling you, if you want to really, you know, get into my head,
tickle
and get
ivory.
You actually, you know, you send me a message.
Yeah.
I'll think about it. I think about it a lot.
And a gift
certificate. It's happened. A friend of mine wrote me about my comments regarding Amy Schneider, and not comment, but just kind of a like an innuendo deal. And I got it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. Do I think that every time somebody's got an issue, I'm gonna agree with you? Not necessarily. I have no idea. Could you?
No, but
I could or I couldn't.
If
we
want to raise awareness, we have to be aware. So make us aware.
I'm writing one right now. Dear Mike,
okay,
please be more supportive of Oscar's endeavors outside the Mike O'Mara show. Sign me.
Let's see. Hold on a second.
Sent.
Dear Mike, can we get rid of him today?
Rob, if you were going to write something that you'd like me to change regarding you,
yes,
what would you write? What would you, Dear Mike? Go ahead.
Dear
Mike, now this is hard for him because this is kind of a conflict thing. It's kind of a conflict exercises, but I like to do more conflict exercises with Rob.
Dear
like
Mike, this is Rob. Please support my puns and old school references on the show.
Aww.
All right,
straight
you
from
ready
the
for
heart.
This?
Yes. Straight from the heart.
In the second break today, and we're going to give you a good chunk of time.
Okay.
Because I'm breaking early now.
Right.
We're going to, are you ready for your nostalgia corner?
Of course, yes.
Replace the homepage? Because we're going to put that in the
Oh, you're going to replace the homepage?
We're not replacing the homepage.
It's giving you the floor.
We're moving the homepage.
Oh, okay, good. You scared me for a second.
You know, we're going to, by the way, I have a new explosion that I'm excited about. I played it for you before.
Yeah.
I won't play that during your nostalgia
fidelity
corner.
We're blowing up the formatics of the show.
And a new theme. If you'd like to hear our new theme, we played it at the beginning. But let's listen again.
Jax Rocks.
What else did I put?
Right, it's like a Jax Rocks.
Stuff. A little bit, yeah.
Or Come to the Tilted Kilt.
No, it's not like that at all. No.
No. Okay.
I have new heavens.
National
I have
Harbor
new
Casino.
Heaven music. I combine two sounds, and I've got heaven. Heaven's
new
music.
Heaven music.
It's a little crackly.
Yeah.
Let me try.
Fidelity wise.
Well, heaven's like that.
They can't all be great, I guess. Better.
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 Mm-hmm. That's a combination of two sounds?
No, it's just one. Sorry, I misspoke.
I like it, though.
Let's see. Does it have that? No, that's the same. That's it. That's all. That's all.
Three new sounds. One big open.
I've got that. Yeah, it's going
to
be.
With five big ways to win big.
Okay, shut up. Play the thing. You could change that too. That sound.
You want a new in the spot?
Tired of that.
Yeah,
okay.
Guy.
I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Tired.
I probably picked it, right?
Yeah.
That's my music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I'll do it. We'll come back with Nostalgia Corner. Today's subject: Caddyshack. Speaking of Bill Murray,
yes.
It's a Bill Murray centric day on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa.
What's up? 'Tis Jake the Snake. Guess what? I'm not blue anymore. Yes, the Gatorade stain has faded, just like little Michael's love for me. That's okay. I still have the father. He loves me. I love to curl up under his neck and nap. It's warm and safe and smells like a concrete from Culver's. He treats me so well. He buys all my snake gear at the TMOS shopping center at MikeOMeraShow.com, Target and Walmart. It has aquariums, hidey holes, snake toys, and makeup. Well, just because I'm a snake doesn't mean I don't want to look pretty. Now start shopping and kiss me, dear boy.
He's a pretty
snake
boy.
Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. My good friend Mark Livingstone recently let me know Cornerstone First Financial has merged with a national lender.
Yes.
They'll continue with the same great service they're providing for years. Plus, now they can originate mortgage loans in 41 states. Way to go, yeah. Cornerstone.
Yeah.
Way to grow. And go from application to closing even quicker. And their rock bottom rates just got lower. So take advantage. Whether you're in the market for a new mortgage or looking to take cash out of your existing home, take my advice and call Mark and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Rates are expected to rise as much as a full percentage point this year. And with no two mortgages alike, the pros at Cornerstone will work with you and go over the best options for you. Even if you're working with another company, use Cornerstone as a sounding board to make sure you're getting the best deal for you and your family. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, Cornerstone First Financial is the only mortgage company I recommend. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, Rob's had this in the hopper for a long time. It's time for a nostalgia corner. I'm excited about this.
Well, we're waiting.
This is a movie. It's a comedy from 1980, Mike. It's called Caddyshack.
Wow.
And it was the directorial debut of Harold Ramis, who I believe has become a very, now that he's passed.
You want to turn that music down just a little bit? It's kind of overwhelming.
Now that he's passed, he's become one of the more beloved characters in Hollywood history for all the careers that he's touched and all the movies that he's made. But this was the first one he did. The film was written by Brian Doyle Murray, Doug Kenny from the National Lampoon, and, of course, Harold Ramis.
The late Doug Kenny.
Doug Kenny, who passed before the movie premiered.
Yeah, and they don't know whether he fell or whether he took a suicide jump off a cliff, I think out in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, they were riding on the success of Animal House, which was made on a shoestring budget and was an amazing hit. And so they could pitch almost anything. And what Doug Kenny wanted to do was make a coming-of-age movie that focused on the caddies. And the other characters were supposed to be nothing more than cameos, really. Okay. And once you had Rodney and Chevy and Bill Murray show up, it became their film, and it got further away from the image that Doug Kenny wanted. And a lot of people think that drove him into a depression because it's not what they wanted to do.
And please, I don't mean to step on your story.
This is what I love.
I learned a lot from Caddyshack from the documentary we all watched on Hulu, if I recall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the first time I ever discovered it was, on HBO years later.
Sure.
In Silver Spring, Maryland, probably just watching movies I shouldn't watch as my parents didn't care for me and they'd let me do whatever
I wanted. That's when HBO was only in Silver Spring, Mike.
And and I didn't understand it. I knew it was funny. And I knew that at that point, the biggest star for me was Chevy Chase.
Of course. Yeah.
Because he just was, he was on Fox. He was just everywhere. And looking back at it now, I didn't really grasp how great a film it was and how and really the team that made that movie until after watching that documentary, because it was the National Lampoon team.
Yeah, and
the team.
We got to talk about the cast here. It has Chevy Chase as Ty Webb.
Don't be obsessed with your desires, Danny. The Zen philosopher Basho once wrote, "A flute with no holes is not a flute, and a donut with no hole is a Danish." He's a funny guy.
It was,
and those sounds were improv'd. He was making fun of the $6 Million Man, which was on TV at the time, and that was him doing the sound of the Bionic Man. Yeah,
I know you're going to get into all the details about this, but a tremendous amount of improv in that movie, right?
Tremendous,
almost all of
a lot of it.
In Bill Murray's case,
of course, Rodney Dangerfield played Al Chervik.
Hey, orange balls! I'll have a box of those. Give me a box of those naked lady tees, and give me two of those. Give me six of those. Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
But how about this? The role was not written for Rodney.
What?
It was written for Don Rickles.
Oh. And Don Rickles would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, he really would have.
But he died.
Really, no, he did not die.
No, he died recently.
He died recently.
This is 1980. He was at his prime.
This is Rodney's first movie, to a point where Ramis talks about they would work out Rodney's bits. Like, that was the first thing Rodney shot, was the pro shop.
Oh, was it really?
And so they worked it out the night before because Rodney was nervous. He had done stage. He had done TV. He had never done a movie. And he's waiting to come in, and Harold Ramis yells, "Action!" Nothing. Action!
Rodney's staying outside.
Rodney's staying out. And he says, "Rodney, when I say action, you're supposed to come in." He says, "Oh, and do the bit?" And so from that day
that
on.
That much of a movie novice, wow.
Yeah,
right?
From that day on, when Rodney was waiting for action, Harold Ramis would just say, Rodney, do the bit.
Do the bit.
Do the bit.
I remember that. I read a lot about it. That's that is so very, very cool. Rodney, I've always thought, who was no stranger to some mind-altering substances.
Maybe all the mind-altering substances.
All of them. Rodney had one particular mind-altering substance that I think he was quite fond of on that set.
Like Kool-Aid, it came in a powdered form.
Thank you.
Elihu Smales was played by the great Ted Knight.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
And without overstating it, I do believe that having Ted Knight in that movie elevates it.
Oh, I Ted. Think it doesn't. It does. Look, it that movie, I think, had potential to just go right down the crapper.
Oh, it could have.
And never be spoken of again, because it's not that great a movie.
No,
really.
If it was a Caddy's coming-of-age movie,
it would have been horrible.
Horrible.
It would have been, but the fact that you've got these, and as far as the golf world, the most iconic movie in the history, every 20-year-old's
Caddyshack. ESPN calls it perhaps the funniest sports movie ever made.
And I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Just another quick
side. It's funnier than Pride of the Yankees.
I think we, I might have mentioned this when my sister lived in Bel Air for the 3 or 4 years in L.A. The gates... there are two entrances to the neighborhood, right? There's
right.
these iconic gates to the neighborhood. And one of the gates is used as the country club gates, like a stand-in.
Oh, they use it for the shot?
For the shot.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He's just riding his bike past
for Bushwood, yeah. That's very cool.
And you're like, Hollywood. Yeah, because they're just like, that's the neighborhood. We'll use those gates.
And speaking of the bike.
The golf course was like a poop hole as far as
where they shot the Florida. It was in Florida. And they chose the only course in Florida that didn't have palm trees. Because they wanted it to feel Midwest. Luckily, they let them blow it up, which was nice. The head caddy is Danny Noonan. He was played by Michael O'Keefe.
Music is a violation of my personal privacy. He's breaking the law.
Really? You know, I've always been fascinated with the law, sir.
Oh, really? What areas?
Oh, all areas. Personal privacy, noise statutes. You know, I plan to go to law school after I graduated, but... looks like my folks won't have enough money to put me through college.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
The world needs ditch
diggers. That's Elihu Smales being very sensitive. Perfect casting with
iconic.
Danny Noonan.
Yeah, he was good, too. And at one point, Mr. Bonnie Raitt.
Yes. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Okay, that's now good. Also, Bill Murray was one of the alleged cameos that was going to do one day of work. He showed up and ended up filming for 6 days and created the role of Carl Spackler.
So we finish 18. And he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
Now, Mike, this is something that really surprised me. The girlfriend, Maggie O'Hooligan, is played by an actress named Sarah Holcomb, who had a very limited Hollywood career, but did you know she played in Animal House, the 13-year-old daughter?
Yep.
Yeah, and she looks so different.
She has a totally different look, and it actually, of all the things in the movie...
Clarette DePasto.
That was her role in Animal House.
Exactly, yeah, the daughter of the mayor.
And I didn't think it worked.
Well, it was...
In Caddyshack.
It was underexplained, because when they first filmed the movie...
Was she Irish?
Yeah, and that's the deal. They based it on the fact that Ramis and the Murray brothers all caddied when they were teenagers. And so a lot of the stuff is true. The initial script was over 200 pages long. The first cut of the movie was 4 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow.
So to make it a manageable length, they had to lose the plot that she was working at the golf course as an Irish exchange student. So the accent actually had a reason, but
is there anywhere where some of that old stuff that didn't?
I can't imagine, because I think it would have surfaced by now. I would guess
so.
Henry Wilcoxon, Mike, the name doesn't mean much to you. He got his start in silent films, and he played Bishop Fred Pickering.
The Rob Roy Bishop.
You never ask a Navy man if he'll have another drink, because it's nobody's goddamn business how many drinks he's had already, right?
Wrong. You're drinking too much, Your Excellency.
Excellency fiddlesticks. My name's Fred. And I'm just a man, same as you are.
You're not a man, you're a bishop, for God's sakes!
There is no God.
Of course, that is...
And those little casting moves.
So perfect. So great. And I got a great fact about him coming up later, too. But also, Brian Doyle Murray wrote himself in as the master at the Caddyshack. He played Lou Loomis. And, of course, Mike, best character in the movie, John F. Barman Jr., as Spalding.
Spalding, get dressed. You're playing golf today.
No, I'm not, Grandpa. I'm playing tennis.
You're playing golf, and you're going to like it.
What about my asthma?
I'll give you asthma.
So, it's based on true experiences. Most of them come from the Indian Hill Country Club in Winnetka, Illinois. That's where all the Murray brothers caddied. And they say that the Baby Ruth story actually happened. In the pool, that someone they say that
somebody actually dropped a deuce in the pool.
No, but they dropped a candy bar and they thought it was a deuce.
Oh, they dropped a candy bar, so it's a Baby Ruth phenomenon. Great scene. You know, I said it might have been panned if it had been structured. It was just a series of phenomenal gags,
which
ultimately a great comedy is. It's gag
bits
after
and
gag
bits
after
and
gag.
Bits and bits and bits.
Yeah, do the bit, Rodney.
So do your bit. Hey, you mean do the bit? Also,
action. Hey,
there was a doddering couple, like the, what was their name?
The Habershams.
The Habershams, that they were based on a real
great
couple.
Great job, Mrs. Habersham. That's a peach, hon.
And also that on the second round that Ramis ever caddied, a guy did get hit in the crotch with a ball, just like Rodney does in the movie. It's smash. In the crotch with the ball.
So much fun. I love that movie.
And
really
also, you should know that if you look very close, because they didn't want to have any copyright infringements, the candy bar that the girl opens up at the pool is a Baby Rut.
Well, it's not. She doesn't open it up, right?
She opens it and offers it to a guy.
Oh, okay. It's a Baby Rut.
Yeah, they had to. They photoshopped out the age so they wouldn't have to pay anything for it.
That's funny.
Now, of course, one of the weird protagonists of the movie is a gopher. And it's a animatronic gopher where they hired someone essentially from the Star Wars people to build them a gopher.
Industrial light and magic.
And do you know that the gopher noises are the exact same sound effects they used for the TV show Flipper? It's a dolphin.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. It's a flipper sound.
And you should also know that gophers very seldom harm golf courses. Moles are the problem.
Destroy golf courses. Mm-hmm. I have been around moles on golf courses for a very long time, Delahue.
Now,
will you loofah my stretch marks?
I want to take a moment to talk a little bit about, I think it is one of the most underrated soundtracks of 1980s movies. I bought this album in 1980.
Let me see that thing. Yeah. I'll hold it up for you.
Yeah. And show Mike the back if you want to know about the maturity of it. The putter and two balls.
Oh, that's an old bullseye putter.
Yeah, but it looks...
Wow.
They're symbolizing the male member on the back. But it is a great album, and it's sadly out of print. I did a little research on it. Right now, if you want to buy it on CD on eBay, it starts at $129 for the CD.
What album makes it so spectacular?
Because it's been out of print for a long time. The LP is 84. I think that it's a great mix of a score. Johnny Mandel, who scored MASH, among millions of other things, did the instrumental stuff. They actually kind of took a page from the Beatles playbook. When the Beatles did A Hard Day's Night and Help, they would mix hit records and score from the movie.
But what are some of the hits on it?
Well, of course, I mean, you can't beat Journey.
There you go. Okay.
I mean, that's fantastic right there. Also,
do you know what that's the significance of that particular song?
No, no.
I mean, you have to realize I am a savant when it comes to this movie.
Well, I mean, that's the one that Rodney plays.
That's the song when Rodney's in the fairway.
So what?
And he presses his radio. So what? So let's dance.
Also, a tremendous hit. I think one of the greatest pop records of all time, and the source of a feud that was still going on when Eddie Money died. When Kenny Loggins was recording the theme to Caddyshack, I'm All Right, in an adjoining studio, Eddie Money was recording, and he invited him in to sing backup. You hear Eddie Money on this part. He never gave him credit and never gave him any money. And to the day he died, Eddie Money was bitter about that. But
that's a shame. That's a shame.
There's other good songs that are not pop hits that are good. There's a song by Hilly Michaels called Something on Your Mind, and that goes like this. They use the instrumental of this when Rodney is riding his big yacht and wrecks the Flying Wasp.
Yeah. Okay. But,
But it's quite listenable.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. Who did this?
That's a guy named Hilly Michaels. Hilly Michaels. And then the new wave band, The Beat, did a song called There She Goes. You hear this at the pool, America Pool, I believe.
Is that when the caddy, when it's caddy day at the pool?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Kenny Loggins did another song called Mr. Knight. This is when the caddies are coming into the pool. But this could have been another hit.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great hit records on it. And Johnny Mandel, I mentioned, did the score. He was so good at making songs almost like the song they were supposed to be. Like, they didn't use the War of 1812 overture, but they did this. I'm sorry, I meant to hit this. There's a wrong button here. This is when they're blowing up the golf course. It's
pretty
almost,
close to the 1812
almost.
Overture.
Yeah.
Just changes the key.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Times.
And also, but here's the thing I wanted to mention. When Bishop Pickering is doing his golf, he's having the ultimate round of his
Stop
life.
Stop for just a second.
Okay.
Slow down. Bishop Pickering.
So great.
Just.
Fred Pickering.
You know, just probably a weed-fueled, hey man, call him Pickering. Like,
yeah.
in My Fair Lady. Making Bishop Pickering so white.
When he
so
is having the double. ultimate round of his life in a rainstorm.
In a thunderstorm.
Yeah. This is such an in-joke. Pickering had a supporting role. The guy who played him had a supporting role in the movie The Ten Commandments. Back with Cecil B. DeMille. Mm-hmm. He gets struck by lightning. Johnny Mandel steals a music cue from The Ten Commandments when he gets struck by lightning. This is the same cue of when the Egyptians are blocked by fire at the Red Sea. It's such
an
intro.
And kind of like the ride of the Valkyries, right?
But that opening thing is exactly from The Ten Commandments, which I think is a great... Great, great in-joke. Also, for years, the theme to the sex quiz on the old Don and Mike show was a great Johnny Mandel composition called Marina. Which is, of course, when they're at the marina.
You're
that Chris
playing
and the-
with fire. With, what is it?
Females for Hire.
Females for Hire.
But a lot of people talk about how funny the movie is, and I don't discount that one bit. It's one of the funniest movies of all time, but it has a great soundtrack, and
Something
I wanted to call some attention to
that. You could probably watch with your son and laugh.
There's just a little bit of nudity, not a lot. You'd have to do some skimming.
Lacey Underall.
Yeah.
Who played Lacey Underall?
Oh, golly. I don't have her. But I did give some thought to the comedy as to why it works after all these years, and the movie is nearly 45 years old, which is saying a lot. So,
yeah, which is saying, you know, polish up the mahogany for me.
But if you think about the subject of golf, if you go back to silent films, you can look at The Three Stooges, you can look at The Little Rascals, you can look at I Love Lucy, you can look at motion pictures and movies all through that. Golf is such a great subject of ridicule because it's associated with the upper crust and I think
rules and regulations.
And
snobbery. And all those things.
There's the word, Mike.
I see it every day of my life. I had such a great time yesterday because we were just chill.
You got the guys
that are like doom and gloom, golfers and masochists, and take it too seriously. And the best rounds of golf I have are with people that don't take it seriously at all.
It's the same reason why people love to see teachers get their comeuppance sometimes in movies, or policemen, because it's a rage against authority, and we're all victims of authority at times, and we don't want to be. And what they call it is snobs versus
Mike,
slobs, and that's what it is.
Cindy Morgan.
That's it, Cindy Morgan.
That's Lacey Underall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Mike, that is your nostalgia corner.
Hey, everybody,
oh, that's wonderful.
We're all going to get laid.
Hey, you must have been something before electricity. There you go.
You want to earn $14 the Caddyshack. Hard way?
If you've never seen it or you've got a young one in your house, yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't
get
think
ready
quite
to fast
ready.
Forward.
I can fast forward. I showed him, here's a trivia question before we go to break.
Okay.
I will ask you. Yeah. I showed him an R-rated movie the other night, his first R-rated movie. 8 years old, I thought we could skip through certain parts.
The Exorcist.
No.
Terminator.
One of my top, I'll give you a hint, it's one of my top five.
Patton?
No.
R-rated.
I don't know if Patton was R.
Comedy or drama?
Drama.
Ooh, this is brutal.
Bonnie and Clyde?
No.
R-rated.
Godfather?
No.
Silence of the Lambs?
Kramer versus Kramer.
Were you on the? How about this? Were you on the fence before you said let's watch it together?
All right, we'll take a hint.
Maine.
Oh, Pet Sematary.
No.
Pet Sematary.
No.
Is it a Stephen King related thing?
Yes.
It.
I'll give you one last hint and you'll get it.
All right.
Prison.
Oh, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that's fine.
But that's barely an R-rated movie.
Yeah, but there's that scene where he's being, pursued by the men that want to exercise power over other men. We had to kind of fast forward. You know, I'm going to put this, and you're going to take it. Anyway, that type of thing. You know, we move past.
Daddy,
that.
I don't want to go to prison.
Well, there was a little of that too.
Yeah. Sure.
Always obey the law, Danny.
Danny.
Always obey the law.
Ditch we'll diggers too.
We'll come back with the homepage right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Danny, you my friend.
You know how everyone always says that the best things in life are free? Well, that's just communism infiltrating American culture. In America, we pay for things because if we don't, the commies are going to replace every American flag with the hammer and sickle. Do you, our loyal listener, want your independent wealth stolen by Soviet ideals? I think not. So buy the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Pay for your entertainment. Like a red-blooded American should.
That's right, Dolly.
Timely.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. FanDuel Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56. To celebrate, new customers can bet $5 to win $280 in cash on either team to win when you use promo code TMOS when registering. And you'll get your winnings in cold, hard cash because we know cash is always better than free bets. I believe I'll be putting a little down on the Bengals.
Yay, Bengals.
It makes the game more fun. Plus, all the prop bets you could ever want. From the coin flip to the color of the Gatorade bath, there's no better place to bet Super Bowl 56 than FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got some game parlays for bigger wins, promotions for new and existing customers, and more. Don't miss your chance to turn $5 into $280 in cash. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code TMOS to make every moment more fun this Super Bowl. And again, promo code TMOS exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook.
$200 in present, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager and designated offer market. Max bonus $280. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 800-BETS OFF in Iowa. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369 in New York. TN Redline 800-889-9789 in Tennessee or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. And a historic bridge in the Netherlands is being temporarily dismantled so that Jeff Bezos can drive his massive yacht through it. The Koningshaven-Vredenfuten Bridge in a little town called Rotterdam was originally built in 1927. It was decommissioned in 94, and declared a national monument. It underwent a major restoration in 2017, after which the city said it would remain intact going forward. But that was before Jeff decided to build the largest sailing yacht in the world in a nearby city. The 417-foot-long beast is too tall to clear the bridge. It's expected to be finished this summer. And when it's ready to sail, Bezos and the company that's building it will share the cost of dismantling the bridge so it can pass through. Then they will reassemble it.
Mrs. Bezos was quoted as saying, "I christen thee the Flying Wasp."
The Flying Wasp. There's no word on how much it'll cost, but the price tag on the boat itself is said to be more than $500 million.
Oof.
Yes,
I've never been on a super yacht. Have you? Have you had the
pleasure? I took up in Maine. I guess this would qualify as kind of a super yacht. I took my 19-foot boat that I own with my sister up there, and went around one. This is how big this yacht was. This was a power yacht that had on the side of it a sailing yacht.
Yeah,
with the mast and everything. Yeah. It was so they could go sailing when they're not on their path. It was pretty spectacular. The, I think it was a Russian oligarch that owned.
There was a Greek shipping magnate that the secondhand account.
Sure.
As someone was discussing, but I'll tell you off air, their time on a super yacht. Just the sheer space you have when you walk on these things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a house.
Yes.
You're walking onto a full-fledged
I can
house.
Speak to this because I watch Below Deck.
Those right. are not super yachts.
They're pretty good.
It's just my word to Jeff Bezos. Share.
Yeah, and others.
Share. There you go. Others. Thank you. CNN boss Jeff Zucker resigned yesterday because he was having a relationship with a colleague and didn't disclose it. Man, they kept this close to the vest.
Yep.
I was trying to get info on this. He was asked to step down by Warner Media. The colleague in question is Allison Gullist, CNN's executive vice president and chief marketing officer.
Oh, I heard it was Lou Dobbs.
He's not with CNN anymore.
Not anymore. Well, no, not since the affair.
She will remain with the company. Oh, she yeah. will remain mm-hmm. with the company. Interesting. They've been close for decades, and their friendship had been the source of rumors, but both of them claim it evolved into a romantic relationship recently. Gullist claims it happened during COVID. I'm sorry. They both acknowledged that they were wrong to have not disclosed this so-called evolution when it happened. Zucker was married from 96 to 2019. What? So he's not. He's.
It's a whole.
So he could have. He could have revealed it and kept his job.
If
right?
he had disclosed it, yeah. But the problem is that he's the boss.
They were outed during CNN's investigation into Chris Cuomo's shenanigans. Kathy Griffin had an interesting take on Jeff Zucker's ouster.
Thank you.
Like reading. Thank you very much. There you go. She was talking about karma.
Yeah.
She was talking about the karma.
Does she have a large yacht?
I don't think so.
Does that make was that anything?
You know, this trash can that I use for my coffee.
Yeah.
How big is it?
Big.
Oh my God! You have you have an office trash can.
Yeah, you need to empty that.
Office trash can.
How often does it empty?
You ever think about going digital and saving some trees?
Shut up, Oscar.
You know what?
All right, moving.
And that is a fine mahogany trash can. Many trees died just to make the trash can.
Super Bowl commercials. We talked about them a bit before the show. They're already being released or teased ahead of game day. They include Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen for Lay's, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Zeus for BMW, and Gwyneth Paltrow for Uber Eats. If you use Gwyneth Paltrow the right way, it could be funny, but I'm not holding out a lot of hope for
that. No, I don't think so.
We'll see what happens.
Star power, Mike.
Stop.
Jeep, Bill Murray. Just,
I gotta watch it.
Loved it. People were asked to name the body parts they ignore and don't clean enough.
Oh.
Some heavy hitters made the list. I'll go from 8 to 1. Feet. 20% of people don't tend to their feet in a hygiene way. I'm guilty of that because I get in the shower and I figure they get cleaned automatically. And I have, I could give you shoes that I've had for 10 years that have no appreciable odor.
You're known for
I do
clean
not
feet.
Have a
All they smell like is fine leather.
Yeah.
They do.
Fine leather. My son, not blessed with the same ability.
Well, thanks, Carl. Thanks, Carl.
His dogs are. Yeah. I was in the car the other day and I'm like, what the hell? And he had just slipped off his little sneaks after practice. Number 7, the face. I do a thorough wash of the face every day. 26% of people don't.
Well, you're on camera every day.
Yeah. Camera ready.
The butt, 28%.
How do you miss the butt?
Well, I have a clear rear, so I do not only the shower.
Yeah. You're fastidious.
I do every single time. My butt, seriously, I could make a film. Let's see.
Mike, please don't.
Your private area down there, the front.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes referred to by our favorite prep service as the junk.
Gross.
Do they love that more than anything else, calling it junk?
They do. They do.
29%. Nose, 29%. Your back,
30%. I pay lots of attention to my nose.
How do you miss all
ears,
of that?
Ears are tied for first with 31%. And the number one thing that people ignore, armpits.
What? Really?
Every day I do my armpits.
Yeah.
I don't get that. It's like a regular shower thing.
First we wax, then we scrub.
Well, Home Alone taught you get all your main parts.
That's absolutely. Right. Come on now. I mean, you should know better, people. A company in South Korea just unveiled a new type of mask called the Kask.
The what?
It folds up and covers your nose. It's for people who still want some protection while eating at restaurants. I would think you'd have trouble enjoying your food if you're doing that. Yes, it is funny looking. Researchers in Mexico already came up with a nose-only mask last year. Would also it looked funny. You had to wear a mask, and you had to wear that one under a normal mask. This one can be a regular mask, but then it folds up to be nose-only. Most people online think it's funny or just dumb because the virus can still get in through your mouth, but you're eating. And if you're down here in South Florida, Rob, would you demonstrate? You're smart enough to do this. Would you, if you can get the mask on, would you demonstrate the way people wear their masks down in Southwest Florida?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see if you can pick up on that. What's the way people do
it? You got any hand sanitizer?
He got it.
But anywho, I'm thinking, Mike, I mean, isn't this what that is?
Yes.
So a K95 is a cosk.
Yeah.
It's well, stupid. If you fold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still got to eat.
It went back
down. Yeah, it turns into like a bikini for your nose.
Nose bikini.
That's that's all. And now a little something, something. In Nashville, Tennessee, police are asking for, thank you, the public's help in identifying a burglary suspect. He was caught on video. He was wearing a fluffy dinosaur pair of pajamas.
Pretty.
And he was digging through an SUV. He also is accused of clawing through a nearby house while the owners were out of town. His outfit came with a tail and soft spikes on his back, in addition to black gloves he wore while allegedly helping himself to other people's belongings. A doorbell cam shows the subject emerging from a dark SUV with a bag in his hand and wearing a blue and yellow dinosaur onesie.
Pretty.
It happened January 23rd, but we just got the video Friday. Along with the getup, he is seen wearing a coronavirus mask hanging from one ear, which leaves his face exposed to the video. Police say this type of crime, very rare in Nashville, but happens about 2 to 3 times daily in the state of Florida. Thank you very much. There you go. Where my dino PJ is going to break into a car tonight. Yes, sir.
No, honey. Yes. The one with the spikes.
Spikes on the back. Come on now. I'll scare him away. Yeah, go on. Yeah, we got to take a break. We'll come back with something right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's that time of year, Jim.
Time for what?
Time to fall in love with love once again.
That's right. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and you're not going to want to miss out on getting a gift for that someone special.
How about a Dermglow Skin gift certificate?
Maybe a cute stuffed teddy bear?
Who doesn't like a delicious box of chocolates? Perhaps a nice Whitman sampler, or maybe Godiva.
Or how about a romantic picture frame with a picture of you and your sweetheart in it?
Whatever you choose to give can be found at the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the link at MikeOmaraShow.com and get shopping today.
Time's a fleeting. You better hurry.
Well, I kind of hate pop-ups, but sometimes they distract me. Well, she's always on my brain. I'm talking about Jessica Chastain. No. Oh. All right. Anyway, sorry about that. Welcome back, everyone. Big news in shoes.
Love shoes.
Everyone at TMOS loves their Rothy's. Oscar got the RS01 sneakers. I got the driving loafers in black. Mm. Rob has the Chelsea boots that he demonstrated this week. You don't need to break them in. As soon as you put them on, their soft, flexible material and amazing insoles make them the most wearable shoes you can own. They are incredibly versatile. Wear them with a suit, a pair of sweatpants, or anything in between. They are knit with 100% recycled materials. Even the sneaker laces are made from plastic water bottles. And dirty sneakers. If dirty candy bars, right? Maybe that's
No,
that's a candy shack.
Come on, man. Start. Talk about your
sorry,
sneakers,
Rothy's.
Not your
Rothy's,
sneakers.
I apologize. I'm a professional. I do these live in tape for the show. Let me rewind. Yeah. If dirty sneakers are a pet peeve, rest easy.
Easy. Easy.
Rothy's are 100% machine washable. No wonder Rothy's men's shoes get a 5-star review from almost every customer. If you're still feeling skeptical about shoes made from recycled plastic, then try this on for size. Rothy's is doing something special. They gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. Right now, you can get $20, 20 bucks off your first purchase at Rothy's.com/TMOS. Please take advantage. Head to rothys.com/TMOS to snag a pair of men's or women's shoes for yourself or someone else. That's rothys.com/TMOS. When Rothys came on the air with us, Carla seriously said, "You got Rothys on there?" I said, "Rothys? Rothys?
Big deal."
I said, "Yeah.
Great brand."
I said, "I'm smart."
I'm smart.
Great shoes.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, Oscar, I know you've got a TV record. Let me give you mine first, though, because it's not really a recommendation like yours is. Oscar was so excited that he texted us all when he was watching TV last night. I'm going to tell you the thing I watched on Hulu.
Hulu.
My softcore porn, Pam and Tommy.
Oh, you watched
That Pam and Tommy. That dropped it's a last series. Night, right?
I watched the first a couple episode? Of them. Yeah, I binged two of them. So,
So is the whole thing out, or are they doing it a weekly?
The guy, I have no idea. You can't ask me questions when I just watch something and I don't pay any real attention.
Understood.
I will tell you this: the guy that plays Tommy Lee and the lady that plays Pamela Anderson, they do a pretty decent job, and it's a very weird role for Seth Rogen, who's also in the movie. And I believe, unless the man was really, really well. Gifted by our maker, it might be they might have a liberal use of prosthetics in this particular film.
Tommy Lee's nose isn't that big.
it's interesting. If Tommy Lee, when you watch this show, you can believe that Tommy Lee was like that. I could see it happening, and if he really was like that,
is it worth the time?
That's a hard call. I stuck with it. It was interesting.
Did you half hour episodes?
About an hour, I think.
Is it something you'd watch?
You're asking me, is every question you're going to ask me like the question I can't? I don't know. I didn't time it. Might have been 40 minutes.
You didn't have regret, is what I guess really that's.
I didn't have regret. A lot of it. Do you guys do this with streaming where you watch something and then you just drift away from it? You just don't go back?
Yeah.
You've watched a couple of episodes, you've made a bit of a commitment. It's not always all in. Sometimes you go back. It's just a little dull.
The competition is, it's fierce. So you could find something better.
Well, it's dull even with his penis and her breasts.
All right.
So that's it. Now you have one. It's Hulu. It's Hulu though.
I don't usually text you guys with something we need to watch as a team.
Right, exactly.
Because we all have different views and different takes on things. So we like to bring a plethora of piñatas to the table.
See.
Joni Ray Tuttle from Facebook, one of our listeners, and she's part of the Team West television, movie, and podcast group, multiple groups, offshoots, God bless them. She wrote me about a documentary on Netflix called The Tindler Swindler. And if you want to...
Is it The Tinder Swindler?
It's a Tinder Swindler. I'm sorry.
The Tinder Swindler.
Yes.
Starring Andy Kindler.
And I was like,
did you hear
right.
the laugh that his brother did in the background over that one?
Dummy.
He
it's
likes
so
that.
Stupid.
Yeah, I don't even know who that was. I just kept moving along.
Exactly.
Go ahead. And I said, okay, well, let me just throw this on. I was in front of the television.
Right.
And if you care at all about watching people's lives fall apart or a thirsty gaggle of young ladies that unfortunately for better or worse, get hoodwinked into just dealing with this terrible, terrible Casanova swindler. It as a true story, you will be thoroughly entertained and you will enjoy this documentary.
Is it so? It's documentary. It's documentary evidence with interviews with the real people that got
correct.
Oh, okay, that's kind
it
of
is, and by fascinating. Like I like going into things skeptical,
right?
And I sat there and I was like, I can't believe I stopped it 10 minutes in. I called my wife. I said, you're going to love this. And Shannon was yelling at the television by the end of the doc.
Okay. That leads me to my question that I was going to ask you. And I will ask one important question. The individuals who are on the receiving end of this grift,
the swindle,
I have to ask, are you going to, let me see if I can ask this in the most, non-offensive, delicate way. The women that they talk to, are you going to learn anything from them?
Oh, yeah.
So they're not dummies?
No, they're dummies.
Oh,
but,
okay. When I'm calling somebody in the mildest possible way a real knucklehead, a real dummy, I will say, well, this person is fine, but you're not going to learn anything from them.
Intellectual laziness?
No, there is. I retract the statement. They're not dummies. This guy was so good at his level of con that it just wasn't about the relationship.
So he was next level.
He would create friendships.
He was next level, but I'll rephrase the question.
We all would have been conned.
We all would have been
conned. Right.
And while you two have found something you like, I will tell you something to avoid that I was excited to watch. On Apple Plus. Wait,
will you watch this weekend?
Y'all watch it tonight.
It wasn't trending yesterday. It'll be trending this weekend.
I will watch it tonight.
Sounds interesting.
If I don't go back to Tommy Lee's thing.
Watch it with Carla.
I don't go back to Tommy Lee's wanker.
So they were promoting this a lot on Apple Plus. And listen to this cast. You've got Tiffany Haddish, Ike Barinholtz, who is funny, Ben Schwartz, who is amazingly funny. A great cast. It's called The After Party. And it's about a murder at an after party of a high school reunion. And I watched one episode. I love to a person every comedian on this movie. Mm-hmm. It's unwatchable.
What network?
It's on Apple Plus.
Oh, man.
And so don't watch it. And they're going to
blow it up. Yeah. I'll blow it up because I want to use my explosion sound. All right. Put it over here.
There it is.
There's the DVD.
After party.
Fire in the hole.
Isn't that a great explosion?
It's so great.
I love that.
Tinder Swindler.
Tinder Swindler.
Yes.
Say that 30 times fast. We'll take a break, and we will come back with some very interesting sounds.
Sound.
Like explosions. I don't know why I like that one. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Glad to have you with us.
Guess who? Ha ha ha! It's me, Arnold. Biggest Nazi show after Gross Spiel. Of course you are. Oh, I should explain. That means you are excited about the big game. Sure, why not? Legally, I can't name it, but I can give you ein kleiner Hint. There have been 55 previous ones, and sometimes it can be likened to a superb owl. Or as we used to call it in Tau, Austria, where I live, the Hovenschleinenblüli. But today, we'll just call it Das Großspiel, okay? Okay, get ready for Das Großspiel. You're going to need things like pennants and stuff, bunting hats, the crazy shirts and stuff, chips, salsa, Wiener Schnitzel, Rouladen and Schwarzwalder, Kirschküchen. Luckily, you can find it all at the TMO Shopping Center at MikeOMaraShow.com. Der Target und Sie Walmart. Buy it now. Danke. By the way, we played flag football back in Austria. Just don't ask me what kind of flags we used. Ha ha! Hurrah for Der Spengelin. Auf Wiedersehen.
What?
Okay, I get it now.
Das Bengeling. The Bengals.
The first thing you need to know is that Catalina Crunch,
oh yeah,
their cereal is delicious.
So good.
The dark chocolate, the cinnamon toast, both great. Amazing, really.
You can eat it.
Zero sugar.
Without milk.
Zero sugar.
You
just snack on it. Keto friendly, low carb. Most zero sugar food doesn't taste delicious, but Catalina Crunch really nailed this. Plus, it packs a whopping 11 grams of plant-based protein and 9 grams of fiber per serving. Taste for yourself why over 10,000 customers rate Catalina Crunch 5 stars. They've got 8 delicious flavors to choose from, and you're going to love them all. Gluten-free, grain-free, non-GMO, only real clean ingredients, nothing artificial. See why Catalina Crunch cereal is the fastest-growing cereal brand in America. Just go to CatalinaCrunch.com/TMOS for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's CatalinaCrunch.com/TMOS. Not sure which flavor to start with? Try a variety pack and check out their delicious cookies and snacks. Mixes while you're at it. Again, that's CatalinaCrunch.com/TMOS for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. Hey, Sound Town, Town Time, Town, Town, Town.
Did you hear that?
Listen, what a sound.
Do you hear?
The sound.
There's a new sound.
The sound.
Sound Town.
Commander. Fever.
We didn't get to it today. Tomorrow.
Okay.
No, maybe next week. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. Where's the logo? Where's the effing logo?
Well, it's kind of.
This is.
It's a W. Is that what you're telling me? It's a W or numbers on the helmet.
This is what's great. Remember the crest I sent you of just like that looked kind of like a logo that had the three stars.
The crest that's controversial also.
Yeah,
now,
you see,
it's a soccer logo.
Yeah, it looks like a soccer logo.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll look into the NFL shop and say, I wonder if they have a cool like pullover or jacket.
Sure.
That is something that
merch.
You're like,
they don't.
No.
No.
I went on there.
They
I said,
it's just, they can't do, what is it with Washington team ownership? You have one team that pulled it off.
Mike.
One team, the Washington Capitals. They changed their color scheme and they
their
own
logo
it. Red,
looked
white,
amazing.
And blue. A logo yes, sometimes just, of the standard one,
awesome.
But the capital. Come on.
You want to talk
a
about
w,
pure excitement.
A horribly done W, by the way.
If you want to talk about pure excitement, I watched the announcement yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, we covered it on the air when it happened.
Right.
They brought out their media vice president, Julie Donaldson, to announce the name. And she came out in
Good
front of a
Rob.
Banner that said 2/2/22 because that was the date.
That's the date they're going to write. And they had some videos, too.
And anyway, it's very, very exciting.
The anticipation, the wait is over. 2 days after I got this job, we became the Washington football team. And here we are now on 2/2/22, the Washington Commanders.
I duh.
Yay!
I know people pre-tape things. Like I'm a big fan of pre-taping.
Okay.
Like,
they could send out a mass email of a slick video.
And they could say, this is because of Omicron, we're not going to have a press conference. Here's the video.
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
I don't doubt that Dan Snyder, with his millions, figured out a way to become a Richie Rich. I get it. But Dan Snyder runs this organization like a mallet head. He's a
consistently.
Dope.
And you know what I didn't the
it's
thing I don't understand
failure.
What I don't understand is when he took the stage, how they even found a Washington Commanders coat that looked too small for him.
You have to, is this overstating it, that could you not, with the basis of Commanders. With that pseudo, they're obviously going for the pseudo melodramatic pseudo military look.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why not?
The possibilities are endless as far as what you could do, and you wouldn't even have to make it overly militaristic.
No,
but
you want to
connect
it somehow with Washington, D.C., the commander-in-chief, the commanders at the Pentagon.
Yep. Commander Salamander.
Oh, yeah, that was very popular when I was in eighth grade.
I know the Dallas Cowboys, that they own the star. They're the ones that use the star, but there
are three stars.
You've got a flag. You've got, come on, guys. A big, ugly, clunky W.
We can all agree, though, with the narrative that if they win, we're going to be all in.
I don't know.
That. Not Mike.
They've lost. I'm not a Redskins fan.
Yeah.
I wasn't, raised.
One thing that they do have going in their favor is Robert, who never texts me unless I text him first, texted me yesterday and said, "Dad, the new uniforms are fire."
Yeah.
And that's really high praise from a kid.
He loves the new uniform.
Yeah, he loves the black uniform. And then Tony Perkins complained online that the mannequins weren't good.
Look, it's a sports team. You need a logo. You need a fleur-de-lis. You need the NY. You need the, the W is clunky, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody was in a big marketing meeting and said, wait a second, a W on a schedule is a win.
Yeah, but if the offense plays like it did this year, it's going to look like an M.
We'll see. I just was frustrated. We're thinking too much about it, but I can't help myself.
All right, so there's this mom in Australia. She's going out for drinks with her daughter, and she's not good with the QR code because, they don't hand out menus anymore.
Right.
You do the QR code on
you
your phone.
Take a picture.
And so she says, Mom, you have to order into the QR code. So she talks to it.
Mom, you got to order through there.
Okay. Can I have the Scotch and Coke?
Maybe too many Scotch and Cokes in a lifetime.
And not a great drink anyway.
Hello, can I have the Bloomin' Onion, please? It's not working.
She leaned forward into the table.
For the same reasons my mom asked the Bluetooth to come on, please.
Yes. And then when she talked into her car dashboard.
She said, hi, Bluetooth, please connect to my phone, please.
Me before the show today. Please, can I have a bit of connectivity to me, please? Thank you very much. By the way, how's that been on the show today?
Great.
Much better.
Yes. I'm glad we took the time
better,
to
but
do
not
it.
Perfect.
In.
Well, we had a speed bump at the beginning, but then it went away.
Yeah.
But during the show,
yeah, we're
been
great.
Okay?
We're great, yeah.
Oh, good to hear.
So they do this every year. The zoos all across America try to do something embarrassing with their animals to people's exes on Valentine's Day. I'm sick of it. This is a zoo that wants to name cockroaches after your ex lovers, and they send a message. But here's the thing, is that it's a computer generated voice, which just makes it creepy.
Here's a message from your ex. Roses are red, violets are blue. The zoo has a cockroach named after you. But don't you worry, I'll be there too. Not in a cage, but laughing at you. I hope you have a lousy Valentine's Day.
That is misguided on so many levels.
But the scale,
well, Mike, you were in your day. You were a zookeeper. So
I was. Yes, sure, man. Yes, sure. I am a professionally trained zookeeper that had that. I tell people this as the veteran of not one, but two, count them, uno, dos, two failed marriages. I tell people that you have to. I was playing with a gentleman of German extraction yesterday, made him laugh out loud. Because he likes, he's older. I love him. He's a fantastic guy. And he's just spectacular to play golf with. He has a joy for life. He's a lot older than I am, but he's just fun. And I said, I tell all guys that are going through this, at a certain point, you just have to eat the S sandwich. And I thought he was going to cry.
That's probably not an expression from Germany.
She's sad.
Thoughts.
But it's true.
Yes.
So this type of thing goes against that philosophy of mine.
Scalability is impressive, though.
Yes.
If it's all automated.
Yes.
I mean, they must be making a fortune.
Have a lousy Valentine. Move on, dude. If you are doing that, ladies and guys, you got problems. You got to look in the mirror. That's my point.
I just want to say thank you. I only really played it so I could call you a zookeeper.
Yeah. I am a professionally trained dish jockey.
All right. Seth Meyers is having a great week. He had Letterman on, and it was a great interview. Did you watch it?
I did not get a chance.
You need to get a chance to look at it. And also, don't look at Letterman's YouTube channel unless you're prepared to stay there for about 40 hours. It's
really?
Great. It's got everything. Anyway, Seth Meyers had a joke last night that caught me off guard, knocked me down.
Tesla has issued a recall for more than 50,000 vehicles to disable a feature which prevents them from rolling through stop signs without coming to a full halt, or as Tesla calls it, Mercedes mode.
Mike, that's all I got.
Now leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with the bonus show. If you've not subscribed
to
the TMOS bonus show, what the hell are you waiting for, ladies and gentlemen? Because our bonus show is Das Bomb. Please do. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com. They'll help you with that. I like this closing music. Makes me kind of linger on it. You know what I mean?
Linger longer.
I'm a professionally trained disc jockey. Yeah, we'll be back with another one. Shorter, it's commercial free. We never know what we're going to talk about. Sometimes we have horrible, horrible fights. There are those of you that like that. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying,
so la-la-la-la-long.
Cockroach.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
The mainstream media has legitimized extraterrestrial life and is basically saying we are being visited, something is going on.
Hey, save some for Dad now.
I'm a phony, just like you.
Sayonara, sucker. Wow.